Shalom, everybody. Morning.
Morning, morning.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, Jonathan's there. Yofi. Okay. Yesterday, we introduced this concept of being Makar Hashem Shemayim B'Seisa, where the ramification of that is that that's a private place with you and Hashem. That's where you do something which is a massive Kiddush Hashem, but nobody knows about it. In fact, it could be quite opposite. Everybody thinks that you're the biggest Rosh in the world because you were Makar Hashem Shemayim. That's the Nisayin there. But it's in that place, Dafke in that place, where you have the deepest connection with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's what we're calling the Chedi Yichud with Hashem. That's when you're alone with Hashem, and all you have to do is do what Hashem wants you to do. Even though the ramifications, everybody's going to think you're the Rosh HaGomel, there could even be a Chidul Hashem. There could even be a Chidul Hashem here. That's got to be Cheshbon out in the Maisa. You have to work that out. I don't know how you Cheshbon that out. There may even be a Chidul Hashem here, Befehesia. Although, if you're doing what the Torah wants you to do, it's hard to imagine how Chidul Hashem can come from doing the Rotzen Hashem. Lo Muvandi, I haven't thought it through properly. I need to. But that's the Yisod of being Makar Hashem Shemayim B'Seisa. That's the Chedi Yichud, where you're alone with Hashem and you have to do what you have to do, even though no one's going to know about it. David HaMelech comes to mind. David HaMelech went to his grave not having been vindicated. You know, he was only later when they couldn't open the gates of the Beis HaMikdash. So Shlomo invoked David's name, then suddenly everybody realized, wow, you know, we misread David. But David in the Chedi Yichud with Hashem was completely clean. So that's a place where a person finds himself in his shyness, where he's alone. And one example I once heard from Rav Pinkus is you have two people. One's a Choshev Rosh Yeshiva, yeah, very Choshev guy, he's got a big yeshiva. And he's in shul, he's in the Beis Midrash a good 15, 20 minutes before anybody else gets there, before the start of davening. And he says, unbelievable, by the time he gets to Kriya Shema, the guy's mama, he's flying already, you know, he spent half an hour on brochas and on Sukkah de Zimra and Bria Shema. He gets to Kriya Shema, it's a good 15 minutes before Sof Zman, Kriya Shema, the first Zman. And the guy's Kriya Shema is a work of art. It's an unbelievable high expression of what a Kriya Shema is supposed to look like. Everyone will be spoiled from this guy's unbelievable Kriya Shema. Down the road, in a little apartment, there's an Avreich who was, whatever, he was up late last night. His wife's already up, she's gone to work. And he's still in bed. He's still in bed. First fun of Kriya Shema is gone. And it's getting very close to the end of the second Kriya Shema. He's getting very close to the Vilna Goyen's Sosman Kriya Shema. And he suddenly wakes up with a fright. And he recognizes, wow, Sosman Kriya Shema any minute. He has to say Shema quickly. So quickly, whatever, he does Negel Vas quickly. And he says Kriya Shema quickly. Mamash. He's got like 30 seconds to squeeze in a Kriya Shema before Sosman Kriya Shema. So there's no question that the first Kriya Shema, the Kriya Shema of the Rosh Yeshiva is for sure it's on a much higher darga in terms of Kriya Shema, in terms of the work of art that Kriya Shema is. It's unbelievable Kriya Shema. The other is Kriya Shema, if you look at it just in isolation, you know, there'll all be Duke Kriya Shema, you know. But in terms of the Kiddush Shem Shemaim, who made it be Kiddush Hashem? The guy in the Avreich in his apartment where there's no one there, he made a Kiddush Shem Shemayim B'Seisa because nobody knows about it. It's just between him and Hashem. Why did he make it a Kriya Shema? Had he not said Kriya Shema, no one would have known. The Rosh Yeshiva, he has to be there. There's people looking at him. He's being watched. You know, he's there on the Mizrach Vant and the Talmidim are looking at him and they're watching him and people are talking about him. So you know, he's making Kiddush Shem Shemayim B'Fehesia. But there's a Kiddush Shem Shemayim B'Seisa which in certain aspects is much greater than that. I remember this Pinkus saying over this marshal. So we have to remember that. That's a big chizuk for us. It's very often we find ourselves alone in different situations and whatever, and just sometimes the smallest act can make an enormous Kiddush Shem Shemayim B'Seisa. Rav Tauber once told us that he was flying. He was going somewhere. He used to fly a lot, and the planes got delayed, whatever, and they got taken off the plane, and he had to go to. They put him in a hotel. It was late at night. It was very late at night. And he got into the apartment, the room there in the hotel, whatever, and he realized suddenly he was about to go to sleep. He hadn't learned the daf. He hadn't learned daf yomi. You know, this happens to everybody. So he took out the Gemara, he started learning daf yomi, and he kept falling asleep. So he was very disappointed. His parents, his father was a businessman. He worked the whole day. And he, at the same time, he was Mechabes Sforim. He was a Talmud Chochem Muflag. You know, he used to work a full day and come home and learn through the night and be a Talmud Chochem, was able to write Sforim. It was a Chidushim. And he says, I can't even learn a Daf Yomi. What's going on here? He said, he had terrible Chalishas Hadas. And then he looked up on the wall and there was this big screen on the wall. You know, they've got these things in hotel rooms, apparently. There's big screens, whatever. And then you've got a little remote button next to you. You know, they're on the thing next to your bed. And they had a look at that. And he said, you see, Hashem, I can't give you my Daf Yomi, but that button I can give you. I'm not going to push the button. When a guy's alone and he's tired and he's exhausted, and not to do anything wrong with the thing, just to watch the news maybe or whatever. Well, you don't push the button. So first of all, you're giving the button to Hashem. That's like the kid with the cigarette that we learned about earlier. But there's another aspect here, and that is there's a kid Hashem Shemayim b'seisiyya. You're in a chedi yichud with Hashem, and if you push the button, no one will ever know. No one's gonna. Just this is between you and Hashem, and you don't push the button. That's an enormous kiddush Hashem. Why are you not pushing the button? Because you're worried about what people will say, what people will think. No, it's just because of you and Hashem. That's the deep connection of what's called kiddush Hashem Shemayim b'seisiyya. And we all have examples of this all the time. We don't even realize how great we are when we do stuff like that. So now you know that's called kiddush Hashem Shemayim. You're makadosh Hashem Shemayim. That's what that is. And those are the hardest nisoinus. Those are the most difficult nisoinus because it's just between you and Hashem. You know, when you're in public and people are watching you, that's easy. You know, because you're too embarrassed to do anything else. But when you're alone, so the guard's down. And that's where unbelievable greatness can be achieved if you understand what's going on. Okay, let's move on. Daf Tzadik Ches. Balsfas emes atzal ama al divrei ben zoyme be avois. Perek Dalet Mishnah Aleph, in the fourth perek of Pirkei Avos, famous Mishnah. Eizu Ashir Hasamach Pechelkoi. Who's the rich man? The one who's Samach Pechelkoi. Now, he says, Amoydika Chidishya, this will change your Mabat on reality if you take this to heart in a big way. Sheakavonehi Gambaruchnias. Mr. Semes says this, that the Samach Pechelkoi that makes you an Ashir. For sure, we all know that in Gashmis, that's for sure. That we learned already when we were children. We know, you know, Samach Pechelkoi, that's the happiest person in the world. Is somebody who's Samach Pechelkoi. He can't get anyone happier than that when it comes to Gashmis. He's satisfied with what he has. He's happy with his lot. But we never, ever imagined that in any way could apply to Ruchnias, Makesha Ruchnias. How can that apply to Ruchnias? What are you talking about? You're just Samach Pechelkoi, you're satisfied with everything, you become unmotivated, you don't do anything, you don't strive for great. What are you talking about here? Shakavona hi gam beruchnias. Kloima, shachisina nafshi ruchoni shela adam tolu beinyan ze. Kesh adam Samach Pechelkoi, when a person is Samach Pechelkoi, bemishpochte, beyelodov, bematsava kaspi. When a person is Samach Pechelkoi, with the family he's got, his children, he's not looking at the neighbor's children thinking, wow, my children such schlepsuchers and the neighbor's got such gewaldike kids and why do my kids and I have to go to Hitlat Chuta Yelid and I've got this problem and that problem with my kids and everybody else seems to be, no. He's Samach Pechelkoi with everything that Hashem gave him. His financial situation. Ulahavdil is also Samach Pechelkoi with the understanding that he has in his learning. His grasp of the Gemara, Samach Pechelkoi im ze. B'medragose haruchnias u'bekishreinim shenitan le. With his level of ruchnias, and with the talents, with the kishronot, with the talents, with the capabilities that he has in them. V'yodeh shakolish bochu noisen lo yisatnaim ha'idiliim v'hamatiim l'shum l'lisoim tafkidoi. And he knows that Hashem's given him the perfect situation, conditions that are exactly what he needs to fulfill his tafkid. And Hashem gave him all the tools he needs to be matzliach. There's nothing missing in your toolbox. You think you're not being matzliach because there's this little tool missing from your toolbox. And if you add that, wow, then you'll fulfill your... No. Your toolbox has got all the tools you need. He knows it's all, Hashem packed your toolbox for you because Hashem knows what your job is because he gave you your job and he knows exactly what he's given you, everything. It's biduk for you. As a samach b'chol matzav, as a samach in every situation. Einu noifel beruchu ve'einu mitonen. He doesn't feel down. He doesn't feel sad. In ideal, we're talking again. V'dal gezum etzava hazoya shel chaveiro. In this situation, the shining, beautiful matzav of his neighbor, friend, shchein of ochiv, einu mafirim es shalvosoi ve'simchas chayv. It doesn't interfere with his simchas chayim b'chlal. Whoa, I said, we'll see. I asked that question. What about motivation? Push yourself. We'll see. We'll deal with that. Don't know what that means. Push yourself. Don't know. Okay, yeah. We'll see. 1 second. No. It seems to be saying that in Ruchnius, you should just be, complacent, whatever. Yeah, this is what I understand, and this is what I know, and this is what I learned. This is how I daven. It's obviously I'm not changing. No, obviously that can't be. You know that can't be. So we have to understand what it means. Okay. You know, just started. This is Fasemis. Slowly. He knows exactly how to use and how to actualize and utilize what's been given to him. And of course, he's always thanking Hashem for everything that he's got. He's makir es hatoiv. There you go. In this way, he can be tkadem v'lalot bruchnius. But he's satisfied with his ruchnius, so why should he be ba'ile beruchnius? We'll have to see. No, that's a bit. It sounds a bit of a stira. He's samach b'chelko in his ruchnius, so he doesn't have to be ba'ile in ruchnius. Nobody has to be ba'ile in ruchnius. We know that. So what's going on here? Dafka there, he says that's what causes the li in ruchnius. V'chayev hashalmim toirmim gam la'eches pulim aruchnim v'agashmim brachad. This tranquility that he has, because he knows that Hashem's given everything he needs. He's got all the tools he needs in order to meet kadem and fulfill his tafkid in the world. It gives him tranquility. When a person's tranquil, he can function much better, and he can solve his problems, and he can meet kadem in ruchnis and gashmis much better. The supam shepam shol marana chofetz chaim zatzal adam echad. Chofetz chaim asked somebody, "How's it going? How's your matzav? What's the story?" So I said to the chofetz chaim, like we all say, it's a very Jewish way to answer a question: "How are you doing?" Yeah, it could be better. So the Chofetz Chaim asked him, "Minayin lecho she'ayochel yos yoter tov? From where do you know that it could be better? How do you know it could be better?" V'la'kolish bochu rachum v'chununu. Hashem's rachum v'chanun. V'yodeh tov mimcha ma tov avurcha. He knows better than you what's good for you. You know what's good for you, but I think Hashem knows a little bit better what's good for you. Nachon? Azu reitzelayti v'mcha. And he wants to only do good for you. Hashem's not giving you your matzav in your situation because he's trying to trip you up. What Hashem's giving you, that's what's best for you. V'im lo noten lecha yoteh, if he didn't give you more, mashma shematzav zeh hu atov b'yoyis avuch. It must be that this matzav zachi tov. This is the best situation for you. I got away. Sorry about this. This and all future events. Oh, finally got rid of that. Sorry. It must be that this is a situation. So what do you mean it could be better? If it could be better, it would be better. This is the best situation. Otherwise, Hashem would have done something else. Should be getting used to those phraseology already, yeah? You're an oilam ole, and you were created for you the world. Therefore, you have all the kelim, all the tools, everything you need to fulfill your mission in this world. Hashem doesn't come along and give you a mission and then says to you, "Yeah, but you know, I'm not going to give you what you need to fulfill the mission because I want to see you fail." No, he wants to see you succeed. He'll give you everything you need to succeed. There's a space where you have to work, for sure. There's a thing called Bechira, and you have to actually go out and do it. But you have everything you need to do it. Now you have to do it. V'kach me'alfinu binoi balach redim zio, ein lo tizboided imoiz barach, v'ina ata roiv zmancha yechidi. Sorry, ech lo titboded imoiz barach. How is it that you are not making yourself alone with Hashem? V'ina ata roiv zmancha yechidi. Most of the time you are yechidi, you're alone. Bebetin imcha yechidi, in your mother's stomach for 9 months, you're alone. Ve'ez tishan aguf yechidi v'aneshama yechidi. When you're sleeping, the guf's alone and the neshama's alone, because the neshama goes up to shemaim and the guf stays in the bed. Haguf bekevach bodod vaneshoma bedodod began Eden. After 120 years, the guf's alone in the kever, and the neshama's alone in Gan Eden. L'kol tzadik mido lefi kvoidoi, l'chein shma b'koilil. Therefore, listen to me. L'cha imoy lech imo tomid v'lo tiporid rega. Walk with him all the time and don't separate for 1 second. Kim tidrashenu yidrosh loch. Because if you look for him, he'll find you. He'll look for you. Lo yifrosh mimcha. Don't separate from him. How pleasant and beautiful it is when you're being escorted by Hashem, you're walking with Hashem. Because he's your father, he's your master, he made you, and he will maintain you. Very beautiful words there from the Baruch HaRedim. Okay, very high holy things this, you know. These are very elevated, transcendent levels. But the vortia for us is that a person very often gets broken when he's not achieving in Ruchnias what he thinks he should be achieving. And it's not what he should be achieving. He's looking at what other people are achieving and he's getting broken because he's not achieving that. We spoke about that yesterday. Kina Sefim Ta'aba Chochma, being jealous of your neighbor in his Ruchnias Dike events, can sometimes spur you on to do better, but it can also break you. Yeshiva is a big problem. The Lachatz Chevrati, the peer pressure in the yeshivas or whatever, can actually sometimes pull a person down. Because Ulama Sugal, yeah, he sees this other guy there pumping away, you know, 12, 13 hours a day. The guy's mama, she's a machine. And he looks at him and he knows that, you know, Kina Seifim Daba Chochma. And he uses it to its fullest. And then he can't get out of bed anymore. He has what's called a mashber. And there's a mashber, you know, and then he has to go to some little yeshiva up in the Tzafon there somewhere for a chizuk, which basically means he got kicked out of this yeshiva. And the only other place will take him is that one. They call it a chizuk. You know, that's a chizuk. Yeah, okay, fine. Whatever. Sometimes a chizuk, sometimes not a chizuk. Well, no. That's not the way you look at it. That guy's doing what he's doing. He's doing what he's doing because that's his mission. You've got a different job. Look at yourself and see what your job is. And be very happy and satisfied with what you have and celebrate it. When you're doing that, you'll be able to mitkadem. For sure. We're not talking about being complacent. You just sit here and you go, no, I'm samach b'chelke. No, you're samach b'chelke. You're celebrating your chelek. You understood a Rashi today that you didn't understand before. So sit back and celebrate it. That means you're never going to learn another Rashi because I'm Samech Pechelke. One Rashi is enough for me. I don't need any more. No, of course not. Shulchan Aruch doesn't get the window. You have to be learning and growing and developing. But you have to be Samech Pechelke. You have to be happy with what you achieved now. You didn't understand the Rashi, but you spent an hour catching and trying to work out Pshat or whatever. Eventually, it's time to go. You have to close your Gemara. You close your Gemara. And you leave the day, the Gemara, without ever understood anything you learned today. Lo Ivantim Klum. You spent an entire day in the gym building muscles. Okay, so you didn't get to where you wanted to get to. You didn't understand the Tosfos. You didn't understand the Rashi and then the Chumash. You didn't understand the Mishnah Brura. Whatever it is you're learning. You battled, you struggled. At the end, you lo loimun klum. So you have a mashbe? No. You did what you were supposed to do. Samach b'chelko. Celebrate that you had the morning spent in trying to struggle and understand the Rashi. That's another story. That's something else. In Achinami, for sure that's right, but that's not what I'm talking about now. I'm talking about being Sameach Pechelkoi. I'm happy with this moment. I'm happy with the achievement that I made. They are Simcha Sheli. I'm not looking at how the other guy, how everybody, they went to Shia, and everybody came out of Shia. Wow, what a good Shia, Mamash. Wow, it was unbelievable. And you're sitting there, you haven't got a clue what the guy spoke about. You know what we spoke about? You tried your best, Alon Mavan. Fun. So you'll be very celebrated and very grateful that you have this particular level of understanding. You were even able to get into a share like that. And you're sitting out with people that are such big Balak Krishna that they understand everything. And now it'll motivate you to spend the next few days trying to go over the Shin Chaz of the Shia, go speak to the Magid Shia, you'll work it, you'll battle it, you'll struggle it. But not getting broken because you're the only guy on the Shia that didn't understand it. Well, you did what you had to do. You had to so celebrate it. What you were able to achieve, what you were able to understand, celebrate that because that's your chalek. That'll spur you on next time to work a bit harder. And as you're going, you'll do. You'll grow more and more and more. Same in tefillah, same in everything. First, you have to recognize that you have everything you need. That's very hard because we've been brainwashed from the minute we popped out of the womb, okay, into knowing that you're terribly chaser and you need everything that you don't have. And if you'll just buy our product, then you'll really have everything you need. You know, if you use this deodorant, then you'll have this. And if you use this and if you buy this car, then you'll, you know, and you live in this neighborhood, then you'll, but now you're chaser. Now you can't, how could you be happy without, you know, without this particular kind of chreis, whatever mushugas they've got, you know? And therefore you have to be miserable, you know, and then you have to go make the money to buy it. When you buy it, you're even more miserable, you know, because now you've got it and you're still miserable. You know, you thought you had the solution to your sin. No, Samach Bechelka celebrates what he has, but it's not just he's Samach Bechelka because what can I do and Breira. No, he's Samach Bechelka because he recognizes this is all from Hashem and it's ideal. This is perfect. The Biduk Bishvili. Hashkofa zu mit Ba'eres mit Rivrei Chazal oida sakeshe sheben Yehudi le'oisi Sefer Torah. We've mentioned this many times. This idea is expressed in the relationship between a Jew and the letters of a Sefer Torah. Makeshe the Jews to a Jew to a letter in the Sefer Torah. So the Zohar says like this. There's a cheshbon minyan oisi Sefer Torah oida lecheshbon shishim riboy. There's 600,000 letters in the Sefer Torah. If you would go count them, you won't find 600,000. That's because the Gemara says we don't know how to count. You have to know how to count letters. An Aleph is how many letters? Could be an Aleph's three. Does it get counted as three or one? Because an Aleph is a Vav and two Yud. A Hay is a Dalet and a Yud. So does that get one or two? It says a Ganser. By the time Zamoraim already said we don't know how to count. Don't know how to count. Zamoraim didn't know how to count. You know, every three-year-old in Beit Shemesh knows how to count, but they don't know how to count. What does it mean? That means they didn't know what the rules of counting the Oishas in the Sefer Torah was. But the Zohar tells you there's 600,000 letters in the Sefer Torah. And it's meramazed in the word Yisrael, because the Rosh Tavis of Yisrael is Yeshishim Riba Oishas LeTorah. Yud, Shin, Reish, Aleph, Lamed. There are 600,000 letters in the Torah. That's Yisrael. So that means Yisrael is in the Torah. Every Jew has a ois in the Sefer Torah. That's him. That's him in the Torah. The Sefer Torah, im chosro is achas bilvad, hu nifsal chalila. You can have the most mohuda Sefer Torah that ever was written. Moshe Rabbeinu himself wrote it. A $50 million Sefer Torah. Yeah. If there's one letter possible, one letter is missing, chalila, the whole Sefer Torah is possible. It's shocking news that, I mean, it's beyond our comprehension. You have 599,999 unbelievably mahuda, beautiful, wonderful oases. One's missing, the others are worthless. Lo shave klum, it's possible. It's not a Sefer Torah, you can't use it. V'kach gam b'Yisrael, im chosi yudi echad, the nimshal, that's the marshal, but the nimshal is not so poshut. If one Jew is missing, which means he doesn't fulfill his spiritual purpose in this world, the entire nation is damaged. The entire nation is just didn't do what they had to do. Kol kedushas Yisrael, tafkidam v'yoidam tluim b'kol yochid v'yochid. Every yid has to do what he has to do. Otherwise, the whole game, the whole marechet, which is doim el sefer Torah, is possible. V'ladai avadosoi shel yehudi kol shu. The lack of one yid, even if he's the lowest of the lowest of the yidden, if it's missing, Lam Yisrael just doesn't fulfill its purpose. There's no gula, there's nothing. Because the Sefer Torah is possible. Sefer Torah is possible. Al Yema Adam, Hein Ani Ois Ketano, Man Chashivusoi. What do you want from me? Bashir. Chakir, Kamadakot. I'm just one little letter. I'm a little pitsy yud. Ma shaveli. You know how much does the ink of one yud cost? So what's my all these big gedolim, all these things, and the whole world, and the ganzi, and all the Jewish people, and look what great people, and fentech, and what am I? I'm just a little, you know, I'm a little balabos, doing my little thing here, faffing around a little bit, you know, doing my little dafyomi, doing my this, whatever it is a person's doing. So ma kolkach, you know, if I do or I don't, nishkefelach, you know. So one daven mincha today as was. Shreim chosre b'sefer Torah filo eis ketana kois yud. There's a little yud missing in the Sefer Torah, even if it's in sort of some sort of seemingly insignificant pasuk. It's not in Shema Yisrael. It's in the listing of the alufim of Esav. You know, there's a little yud there where they're listing all Esav's henchmen. You know, and then there's a yud missing. So no, nishkefelach. It's Esav, whatever. Yishmael, you know, Yishmael's princes. There's missing there the yud or whatever. So the Sefer Torah is pasul. Kulu nifsal. However insignificant you are or your yud is, you think it is, aval, the whole Torah is missing. Whole Torah is missing. Terrifying. That's unbelievably terrifying. If you process this and you take a little to heart, it's a mafchid mod.
Not really. It's actually empowering. Because
for sure it's empowering. That's the goal. I'm not sitting here trying to break people.
Because you tell me one person's tough get in the world. You have no clue. Neither of us do. So all that this is teaching us, really, from my point of understanding, is that we are important and we should try to the best of our ability. And like you said, everything's tailor-made perfectly for you. But we've got no idea if the guy's doing his job or not. You know what I mean? So it's not frightening at all, because Hashem has a plan that he set it up like that. So it just shows you you're important in the plan. But do you know what your tafkid is? Do you have any clue? No. How you have to try figure that out. That's a personal thing.
Okay, so you said a couple of things here. Yeah? Let's just make Sadie a little bit. First of all, the fact that it's empowering is not a steer to it being scary. But maybe it's empowering because it's scary. It could be that the sense of responsibility that I get when I see this, I'm not just responsible for me anymore. I'm not just responsible to make sure that there's a little yud in the Sefer Torah. The whole Sefer Torah is sitting there waiting for me and dependent on me. And if I don't do the game, you know, properly, then the whole of Klal Yisrael is going to be, derailed. There's a mafchidoti, and that empowers me for sure, because I suddenly realize kama choshuvani. So I agree with you. Yira is an unbelievable motivator. I'm scared. I don't want to drop the ball now, because the whole team, if I drop the ball 1 meter from the line, after everybody's worked so hard to get it to me, you know, whatever game you're playing, then there's this weighty sense of responsibility. That's what I mean by scary, you know. There's a big responsibility here, for sure. Mm-hmm. But that empowers me. Number two, I don't know if you can say that nobody knows what his tough kid is. Isn't supposed to know what his tough kid is. For sure, yeah. You're supposed to do that when you're young. We never did it. So if you haven't done it, you haven't worked out what your tough kid is, you better do it now. If you want me to refer you to the shiur that shows you how to do that, Rabbi Tetz has a shiur, I think it's called Closing the Circle, Finding Your Mission in the World, Finding Your Purpose in the World, whatever.
I've tried that, but the point of it is, even you can do everything like that. You can't tell me you know what your purpose is. You can have a better idea of what you're meant to be doing with the tools you've been given, but you don't know. You don't know. You can't say you know what your purpose is.
Listen, I don't even know what I know, but you already know what I know. How can you know what I know if I don't know what I know? Once again, slow down, yeah. You can tell me I don't know what my purpose is, but you can't tell me you don't know what your purpose is, because I know people who do know what their purpose is. You with me?
Yeah, okay.
I've met people who do know what their purpose is, and every day they're just trying to do it better and better and better. They discovered what their purpose is when they were supposed to, like between the age of bar mitzvah and marriage. That's when a person's supposed to find out what his tough kid in the world is, and the rest of his life he goes about fulfilling his purpose. For sure. Okay? So don't
parent me that.
Once again, I can turn around honestly and say, I don't know what my tough kid is. That's mutter. To say that you don't know what your tough kid is, I can't say that, because I don't know. Could be you do know what your tough kid is. There are a lot of people that know what their tough kid is, and they're going about doing it.
Most people do not know what their tough kid is. They just
I'm not interested in most people. I'm not responsible for most people. I have to take care of myself and make sure that I find out and do what my tough kid is and fulfill it to the best of my ability. I'm never going to be asked, did you know how many people fulfill their tough kid or not? There's not one of the questions they ask you when you get to the next world. One of the questions they ask you is, did you fulfill your tough kid? So I have to get in touch with and see whether I'm going to fulfill my tough kid. And you can find out what your tough kid is. If you would take the time out to look at what tools you've got, you would know what your tough kid is. How does a plumber know he's a plumber? So he has a look in his toolbox and he sees, oh, wow, I've got a whole bunch of plumbing tools. It must be that I'm an electrician. No, you're a plumber. So go be a plumber. If a person would take time out to get to know himself, introduce himself to himself, work out like the Chovas Lavova says, find out what your koiches are, what your weaknesses are, what your pleasures are. A very important part of knowing what your tough kid is to see what you enjoy. You'd find out. You'd start slowly, slowly getting in touch with what your tachlis in the world is by looking at your talents, looking at your weaknesses, and looking at what your pleasures are. If you would do that, you would come to a very big core of what your tachlis in the world is. It's not such a frightening thing. It might not be this mind-blowing, revelation and hasina that you're expecting to have. No, it might just be a very gentle move into a certain direction. You know, you're drawn to a certain direction. And it changes, of course. Because your tough kid right now be this, and then when you get older, it might change, you know. You go through different phases in life. Could be in the morning, it's one thing, in the afternoon, it's another thing. I don't know. Could be a Rizvulun in the morning and a Yisuchah in the afternoon. I'm saying it's complex. I'm not saying it's easy. But yeah, you can gently go around finding out what you're doing, because otherwise you just tell me, I don't know what the tafkid is. It means everyone's getting up in the morning just blonzing around not knowing what the heck they're doing. They don't have a direction finder.
They've got a direction finder. Like you said, they've got an idea of what they're doing.
Fine. So that's it. And each day you grow and you learn more. The more you know yourself, the more you understand about yourself, the more you get in touch with what your tafkid is. And as you get older, you do. Anyway, that's I'm not going to have a sociologically anthropological argument with you. If you don't know what your tafkid is, that's sad. Go find out. And if somebody does, then you should be happy for them that they do. Okay, fine. Sorry. So now where are we? Fine. So everyone's at least. Oh, so, but I agree with you that the motivation comes from knowing how responsible you are and a choshuv you are. That the whole kim of the Sefer Torah is totally on me. And by the way, we'll end on this, but just to add to your knowing what your tafkid is, to say how choshuv it is that you know what your tafkid is. Even if you're the most mehuda sois that was ever written in the world, yeah, with all the kavanas that are required, but if you're written in the wrong place, the Sefer Torah is possible as well. You know, if you're the shin in Shema Yisrael and you end up being the shin somewhere else on the other page, then the Sefer Torah is possible as well. But I was there. I was the most unbelievable, fully cactus Jew. Yeah, but you were in the wrong place. You didn't do what you were supposed to do. So you could possible the Sefer Torah also that way. So we have to be responsible, gentle and responsible. Bli lachatz, bli stress, bli pushing ourselves. You have to push yourself. You have to gently move up the mountain. You know, that's the call of this generation. Okay, Mitzvah Shem, we'll carry on tomorrow with this. But that's a very big takeaway from here. Big takeaway from here is that the world's dependent on me. I'm not insignificant. And everything I do has big consequences for me and for everybody. We'll see tomorrow. The negative also applies. We'll see. When one yid does something wrong, the whole of Klal Yisrael is responsible as well. So that's a shame. We'll look at that tomorrow as well. All right. We've gone over time. Yeah, into injury time already. Okay. Have a good day. Be blessed.
You too.
Goodbye. Bye.
Why is this not switching off? Hello.